From beach towels to tea towels, and from mugs to water bottles, the TNT Shop has it all. Browse our shop now at tntradio.live. This is War of the Worlds on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
I'm George Eliason, and this is the radio broadcast from TNT breaking the news of the War of the Worlds. In front of the microphone, you won't be hearing armchair generals and think tankers paid to run propaganda for NATO and the Biden administration. This microphone is fitted with a special filter to keep the propaganda and false expertise out. This is not the hour for repeating what you've already heard and rehashing what you already know. This isn't a crosstalk of reporters pushing their bylines in exchange for your money. This isn't the BBC's hard talk with its soft-centered confectionery manufactured at the Foreign Office in MI6. They are the alien invaders. This is the hour when you'll be able to hear the news breaking from the news fronts throughout Europe and the world, and from your ears to your brains. Not the alien invaders, but the fresh, original human analysis of what the breaking news means. So sit tight, and here goes. The first story we're going to cover is actually coming up on social media. And what I want to talk about, it's not just the story itself, but the fact that this happens quite a lot in the world of journalism. And what we're talking about is outright plagiarism. And we're going to stray away from ethical and moral considerations, but talk about the damage it can actually do to society as a whole. Now, the example I want to talk about is actually personal. A journalist that was with Project Veritas and has gained a lot of headway on her own since she was banned from Twitter a few years ago, Laura Loomer, just put out a tweet saying it's the biggest story of her lifetime. The problem was this story was lifted from articles I did 2 years ago. Now, on a personal level, it does bother me, but there are very, very far-ranging implications from what she did because of the eyes and ears that this can get into and the damage it can do because she doesn't even understand the story. The story is about the Ukrainian Azov contingent at the 2021 Washington Capitol riot. Now, she identified a Ukrainian named Sergei Dubonin, and she did this as a Ukrainian spy that got into the Capitol. And she did this through an interview with Jacob Chansley. You may know Chansley as the Capitol shaman walking around with the big bullhorn hat. But when she identifies Dubonin, the Ukrainian, and she calls him a spy, what was he going to spy on? You know, in general, everywhere that people went during that time frame was where you could go as a tourist to begin with, other than, you know, the offices, obviously. Dubonin himself never went in. Well, maybe for a brief minute, you know, into a foyer. But that was about it. So how was that spying? Was it from conversations he had with Chansley and other people, MAGA members at the riot? Is this what she was talking about? Am I nitpicking? Well, here's the thing. When someone like Laura Loomer, who has readership actually in a lot of pretty wide political circles, says something like this, they stand up and listen because of her name value. if somebody wanted to investigate the January 6th riots and Ukrainian involvement through Sergei Dubonin, it would lead to the same place and for the same reasons that the voter fraud, the election fraud investigations failed after the 2020 election. A lot of these people stepping up in media and making all these claims took the attention away from serious investigations that were going on. They honestly put out a lot of false information. And where did that end up? It's fake news. And it put the rap that any election malfeasance for the 2020 election was fake news, even though there was a lot of good, solid work going on. And because of what happened, those investigations, which are real and substantial, will never see the light of day in news. And they're having a hard time going through the courts. And yes, there are still investigations going through the courts. So when you put up a false story like this, you actually endanger real investigations that can go on. Well, what's a real investigation? Well, ultimately, it would mean it would lead to a legal investigation. And if malfeasance is found, a criminal prosecution. If you, you know, let's say you get mugged in the street and there are witnesses. And the witness tells the police, well, Jimmy did it. Okay. And they all point to Jimmy because someone told them that Jimmy did it. Only one of them saw it, but there were people hanging around and they believe that person. So Jimmy did it. Well, Jimmy turns around and shows he was 2 towns away visiting his mom. The investigation's over. Because all the evidence pointing to Jimmy was fabricated. You know why? Well, you know, Jimmy might have kicked this person's dog 2 years before that. Who knows? When, and this happens a lot today, and in situations like this, there are journalists out there that lift stories like this. And even the bigger problem than plagiarism is the fact they don't even understand the stories that they're lifting. And what they're trying to do is get Twitter likes, Facebook likes, larger following, and bigger coffers from crowdfunding. And that's what it amounts to. In every tweet surrounding these stories, Laura Loomer's next link is support me. And I want to hit 1 million followers before the end of the year. So what is she after? Well, she's very, very obvious about it. This is what it amounts to. The idea that there should be a legal follow-up for something like this is lost on her. And that's the biggest problem I have with this. Now, what she's talking about is that Sergei Dubonin, and she identifies him, misidentifies him as a member of Azov Battalion, as she calls him a spy during the 2021 Capitol Hill riot. Now, Dubonin wasn't a part of Azov at all. She didn't even take the time to do a full mock-up on his background. Through the interview with Jacob Chansley, and you have to understand that Chansley was involved in the what we're calling the riot, and, you know, unfairly imprisoned like the other J6 people. Now, where would Jacob Chansley get his information about Sergei Dubonin? From watching the news. Now, you have the photos of Dubonin and Chansley arm in arm in pictures. You have those photos. They're very famous. But do you think Dubonin's going to sit there, hey, Jacob, you know, I'm actually a Ukrainian spy and I'm here to spy stuff. Do you really think that happened? So where did the information about Sergei Dubonin come from? As it was going on, I started building a story. I started doing research, looking at what was wrong with the riot, because it was very obvious. Now, Dubonin came up almost right away. And there were certain factions that tried to paint him as a Russian dupe. A Russian who was there to stir up trouble. And it's just like the, you know, the whole Russiagate rebuilt again. They wanted to renew it. Well, you really couldn't do that because he's from Ukraine. Let's look at who Sergei Dubonin actually was. Now, he wasn't Azov Battalion. He was actually working for Igor Kolomoisky. Kolomoisky is associated with the Right Sector. All the information about Dubonin, that all the images of him that have been published, were done through XR Vision. The owner of XR Vision, his name is Yakov Applebaum, contacted me to do the identification and background. I get those kind of calls once in a while. I actually produce arrest warrants for Dubonin for terrorist action in Donbass. He was wanted. Now, he was working in the media arm of Kolomoisky's empire. Not a spy. An instigator, perhaps. A spy, no. He's just not bright enough. Dubonin was there with Kolomoisky's media group, Glavred. Glavred was one of the largest media groups in Kiev. Now think about this. Why would a big Ukrainian media group be at the capital and specifically and only film the break-ins? They knew exactly where they were going to be. So yes, it was coordinated. But Dubonin himself never committed a crime. So you can look at Dubonin as a tell, like in poker. Somebody has a tick when they have in an era, you know, they squint or something when they have a great set of cards. You see Dubonin, you know something's going on, but you have to look for what's happening based on that and not look at it as the end all. When you look at the videos, and this is what I showed in the articles, the Ukrainians were actually taking part of at least two of the three break-ins. When I first saw the film, my first reaction was, wow, these are military. So I took a short clip. I sent it to he's a retired Green Beret captain that I know. I didn't give him any background. I just told him to look at it cold. What do you see? And he said, these are military people. They're moving. This is a military movement. They're, you know, the spacing, the way they moved, you know, even just how they position themselves as they move. This wasn't militia. These were really trained people. Now, while this camera from Glav Red was coming up right behind them as they went up to the veranda. And there they were, and one of the Proud Boys was there, one of the leaders of the Proud Boys that is sitting in jail right now. He took a swipe at the window. Then the Ukrainian took the 2x4 from him and broke the window. And then they did the same thing again and again. And they, I wouldn't say encouraged, they basically pushed people inside. They went inside for a minute and then they went back out again. They went around the building to the next set of windows they were going to break. Dubunyan went with them, and so did Glav Red. So the whole thing was actually filmed. It's not an opinion, it's not a story, it's a video, set of videos to watch. You have Ukrainians doing this. Now, the story itself, as I started publishing it, the publisher, Creative Destruction Media, they committed to doing the entire set of articles, the entire story. Well, they published two, but then the third one was so hot because by the time we got to the third one, we're getting into who's involved. We're getting into political people in Ukraine, in the U.S., in the Capitol, and leaving the White House. And the article was too hot to publish, wouldn't do it. Now, we're going to be getting to that shortly. And I'm not talking here on the radio. I'm talking actually publishing the rest of the story. I have this in four parts right now from that time frame. But I've never published everything I have. So if the Ukrainians, this is Azov, that Zelensky says is part of his army, was attacking the U.S. Capitol, this is an act of war. This is an unmistakable act of war. That was something that Loomer was right about, and she's just echoing what I said at the time, what I wrote. Now think about that for a minute in light of all the funding that Joe Biden, that Britain, that Australia, that Germany has given Ukraine. And they know this. They know this. Now, so we have Azov's role there. Where did they get the funding to do this? How would they do this? I mean, they're just neo-Nazis, right? Well, no, they're not. And we've talked about their history. The next generation before them is an actual World War II Nazi teaching them that politics. And that makes Ukraine the weirdest place on earth. The politics came right out of people meeting with Adolf Hitler, demanding more money and weapons so they could keep fighting in 1945. Then after the Soviet Union falls, those same people start teaching those politics to Cub Scout age people and bring them up for the Maidan coup. That's how it happened. These are those people. So they're very, very committed. How did they get their money? In Azov's case, they were blackmailing Viktor Medvedchuk for 650 million hryvnia a month. That's $17,610,000 a month. They had plenty of money to do this. And in fact, even the FBI acknowledges this. Azov went worldwide. Even in the U.S., they were doing terrorist acts. Between 2017 and 2020, 25,000 of these Ukrainian nationals relocated to the United States before the FBI put a stop to it. And they put a stop to it because these are murderers. numerous SOBs. And these were the people that were staffing the BLM and Antifa riots, the violent end of it. And I wrote about that in 2020. That's a fact. So when 2021 came around, they had the bodies and they had the means to do this. At the same time, starting in November 2020, Azov was spending this $17 million a month doing regime change operations in Chile, in Ecuador. So that's November 2020, December 2020, and then January 2021 in the U.S. And I caught the commanders that were in charge of this. One of them, Maxim Yarosh, was an Azov commander whose responsibility included whipping up crowds to violence. Whipping up violence. That's what he does. He flew into Ecuador for one day, January 7th, 2021. He flew in. He went to a store, got a Coke, took a few pictures to show he was in Ecuador. And then he got on a plane with former Ukrainian President Peter Poroshenko. And they flew out together. Poroshenko, while he was in the region on a yacht for all of Azov's activities. He was floating around, offshore in Ecuador, during all of this, probably organizing it. The fact that, this guy flies in to Ecuador the day following J6. So he flies out of D.C., flies into Ecuador, then same day flies out and goes back to Ukraine. His co-commander, a guy named, it's a Russian murderer named Sergei Korotkin, better known as Botsman or Boatswain, he was responsible for the massacre in Bucha in 2022. He was there. Korotkin is actually the commander in charge of Azov's foreign troops, which would also be Americans. So it would be Korotkin's people staffing it. So in the whole garbage can, if you're looking for Ukrainians, Azov, you're also looking for Americans. But you're also looking for Brits and Australians. You're looking for Finns and Russians. And these are just evil SOBs. And these people were also there. Now, this sounds a little bit different than, hey, I found a Ukrainian spy, Sergei Dubonin, who just stepped into the rotunda and stepped back out again. But he's a big spy, sorry. You see, we're actually talking about something that there is culpability for. This is something that can be investigated legally. These things can be ascertained legally. Now, we're going to take a break. Do you have a suggestion for a possible guest or host you'd like to hear on TNT Radio? Or perhaps you have a topic you feel we should discuss? Well, then we want to hear from you. Simply complete the suggestion form on the TNT Radio website. Help us make a difference on TNT Radio.
You should hear what Lynn Shaw is talking about.
There was a story breaking this week about Pornhub. Court rules in Pornhub's favor in finding Texas age verification law violates First Amendment. And people are saying score one for Pornhub because this federal judge ruled that the Texas law requiring pornography sites to institute age verification measures and add prominent warning labels about the alleged dangers of porn violates the U.S. Constitution's First Amendment prohibition against free speech restrictions.
Child sexual abuse material, used to be called kiddie porn, is verboten. It is against the law. Period. Can't have it. It can never be sanitized. It can never be, there's just no exception because unlike a quote art form, it is a crime scene. It is a depiction of children involved in criminal subjugation and abuse. So that's different. The question now is that if somebody's an adult, let's say a 50-year-old man or woman who wants to sign into or to enjoy, I guess, Pornhub or anything for that matter, that is not against the law. You know, the notion of dirty and obscene and what isn't and isn't permitted, I don't even think these apply anymore.
Lynn Shaw on TNT Radio.
Interview conducted at 10:15. Present are Sergeant Jones, PC Clough, Mr. Wall, an uninsulated cavity wall, and his solicitor, Mr. Bent. Do you understand the charges?
I shall be speaking for Mr. Wall on account of him being a pile of bricks.
Right, you're accused of wasting energy, Mr. Wall, and we've got concrete evidence. We know that unfilled cavity walls are responsible for up to a third of all home energy wastage.
We also believe you're involved in a fencing operation.
We're going to throw the book at you.
Okay. Mr. Wall would like to say, ouch.
It's criminal to waste energy. To find out how to save up to 25% off your heating bills, visit saveenergy.co.uk or call 0845 727 7200.
When you can point me to an industry, to a platform, that reaches 250 million people a month, virtually 9 out of 10 Americans, that's real, that's substantive, that's important. And that reach and that touch point and that daily reinforcement, it's an amazing place to be able to communicate messages. That's massive.
To find out more, go to tntradio.live.
You're listening to War of the Worlds with George Eliason on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Okay, we're back. So we're talking about the Capitol Hill riots. Poor journalism and the role it can have on keeping the criminals free, because that's what it amounts to. Now, what I'm talking about is actually a very, very deep look, and this isn't speculation. But if you all you looked at was at a Sergei Dubonin, it'd be a case of you can't get there from here. You could never do this investigation. You would never see all these people. You would never find their roles in this or where their funding came from or who they were working with inside the U.S. government. Yes, and I am saying that openly. Working with people inside the U.S. government and lobbyists. We live in such a wonderful world. And people, you know, the ones that are holding the flags up the highest right now in Biden land, well, watch out, because these are the same people that will have no problem throwing you to these walls. Now, what is it that they were trying to accomplish that day? What is it? What would Obama want to accomplish? What would Biden want to accomplish, or Pelosi, or Mitch McConnell, or any of these people, or these lobbyists? Look at what happened. Look at what happened. This is why it's important. Now, just in the headlines yesterday, this is follow-up from that. This is what they were trying to accomplish. September 6, 2023 news. And this is from it's from a group called CREW. It's the Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington. They're filing a lawsuit against Donald Trump, barring him from public office by violating Section 3 of the 14th Amendment. And in Colorado, Trump must be removed from the ballot, according to that lawsuit. And it's filed by six Republicans and unaffiliated Colorado voters, including former state, federal, and local officials. And they're being represented in the lawsuit by Tierney Lawrence Stiles, LLC, KBN Law, LLC, and Olson Grimsley, Kawanabe, Hincliffe, and Murray, LLC. Now, Section 3 of the 14th Amendment is also known as the Disqualification Clause, and it bars any person from holding federal or state office who took an oath to support the Constitution of the United States and then engaged in insurrection or rebellion against the same or gave aid and comfort to the enemies thereof. And they're charging that on January 20th, 2017, Donald Trump stood before the nation and took an oath to preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States. And then after losing the 2020 presidential election, he violated the oath by recruiting, inciting, and encouraging a violent mob that attacked the Capitol on January 6, 2021 in a futile attempt. Any futile attempt to remain in office. This is the fallout from that. This is. When Joe Biden can stand up and give a speech in front of the American people with his red and black blood and soil theme behind him and say half the country are terrorists or potential terrorists and they're treated like this, and they're investigated like this, when the justice system is no longer equal because of this, this is the importance of not just good journalism, but this is the role bad journalism plays in letting the criminals get away with everything. You can have the right story, but if you have the wrong bad guy, you're letting the bad guy not only go free, but continue doing what he does. And if you've got a very, very loud voice, you make it impossible to prosecute him later on when the facts are understood. Now you can see part of why I'm actually talking about this now. This happened before in 2020 with the whole Millie Weaver Shadowgate thing. It was another story that was lifted and bastardized. We'll get into that at another time. Now, let's look at what happened. Forget about Donald Trump for a minute. Because of what Azov did, and this was a conspiracy, U.S. government officials are involved in this. More than 1,033 rioters were arrested. 485 federal defendants received sentences. 277 were sentenced to time behind bars. 113 have been sentenced to a period of home detention. These were people that did nothing. If you looked at the videos, I mean, they stayed inside the tour guidelines. I mean, you know, honestly, it was just wild. But if you look at the riot scenes where they're trying to break into the door at the third break-in, the second break-in, it was the same methodology they used at Maidan. It was the same methodology they used in Crimea, trying to break into the government buildings. It was the same methodology they used in Odessa. It was the same methodology they used in Lugansk and Donetsk in 2014. It was a trained methodology to break into the doors. And it was very, very organized. This wasn't a spontaneous thing. And everybody involved worked really well together. And we're not talking 5 or 10 people here. And none of these people were arrested. None of them. They all walked. On the flip side of this, we have a story coming out at the same time, September 6th, from the Washington Examiner. And this is what we're talking about, justice. And this is why stories like this that have depth, that have repercussions, need to be more than solid. They have to be on the money, because this is what we're fighting. The Washington Examiner article starts with, "A riot is a language of the unheard." And on February 7, 2022, Senator Tom Cotton, a member of the Judiciary Committee, wrote a letter to Attorney General Merrick Garland. It's about the case of Montez Lee, a Rochester, Minnesota man sentenced to 10 years in prison for setting a fire that killed a man during a Black Lives Matter riot in Minneapolis. Now, in addition to setting that fire that killed a man named Stewart, Lee had prior convictions for burglary, assault, violation of a no-contact order, and theft. Under these circumstances, the Justice Department gave him a great deal. He only had to plead guilty to one count of arson. According to sentence guidelines for that, he was facing 20 years in prison. The DOJ itself pleaded for leniency, and the judge gave even more leniency than they asked for. They wanted them to go 12 years instead of 20, which was mandatory, and the judge gave him 10. So we have a justice system that are putting people behind bars because of their political beliefs. They're disbarring a man from office when, we're not talking about foreign involvement. We're talking about a foreign military action at the Capitol in January 2021. A foreign military action. And was Ukraine the only foreign government involved? Nope. You can see why, to a degree, it was too hot to publish back then. But we will be shortly. Now, we need to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll pick it up from here. We'll see you in a moment. This is TNT Radio. I'm George Eliason.
You should hear what Kate Shimarani is talking about.
Braverman goes after woke cops. Home Secretary orders review into political activism and impartiality within law enforcement. But Federation says police should not be used as political football. Well, how about, let me just throw my bit in here. How about when we saw them taking the knee, going down on one knee for Black Lives Matter? I still didn't see them taking one knee when they were chasing me down Whitehall. Lots of them, a woman in her 50s, in a pair of high heels, in a tight skirt that, trust me, wasn't going very fast. We didn't see them when they were, actually, if you're listening in Australia, the cops there were superb. Wasn't it rubber bullets in the back as you ran away on Anzac Day, I seem to remember. Or was it not getting a hold of a woman by the throat? Just to name a few. And if you think that they won't do it again, oh, they will. Because it's every young wet dream, isn't it, when they've got that, they want to be in control and power. You imagine joining the police and then all of a sudden you get told, oh, you're really in charge now. And we saw what they did. And there are some good cops out there, but there's an awful lot of them that they just loved it.
Kate Shimarani on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Although the government was established to protect the inalienable rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness of the American people, the deep state has been working hard to strip us of any claims to life and liberty. No matter who runs for office, no matter who controls the White House, now or in the future, we the people have already lost. Because the future of this nation is being forged beyond the reach of our laws, elections, and borders by techno-authoritarian powers with no regard for individuality, privacy, or freedom. the Rutherford Institute is deeply committed to protecting the constitutional freedoms of every American and the integral human rights of all people through its extensive legal and educational programs. We provide legal services at no charge to those whose constitutional and human rights have been threatened or violated. It's our job to make the government play by the rules of the Constitution. With your help, we will make America free again. Visit Rutherford.org and kindly donate today. A message brought to you by TNT Radio.
This is War of the Worlds on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Now, we've been covering not just the story, but the bigger picture in all the influence that these journalist investigations can have on the fabric of society. When they're done right, when they're done wrong, when they're done, without care, we'll say. Because this was never covered, we have, and it's not enemies of Trump, by the way, and you can't think of them like that, because these are people, these types of people inhabit government positions, activist positions, lobbyist positions in every Western government in the world. And they're dominating right now. They want to take your rights away from you. They want to take your freedom of speech away from you. They want to take the right for you to define yourself away from you. They want to take the right to bring your child up with your moral values away from you, or even just your rights as a parent to keep your child safe. And we're seeing that, and you know, with the whole transgender issue, basically you're castrating children, you're desexualizing them, and what that's going to do to their physiology. You know, 20 years ago, this would be considered torture, because you're sentencing these little children, you know, they want to start 3, 4, 5, 10, 12, whatever, with puberty blockers. You're sentencing them to physical complications, illnesses, for the rest of their natural lives. And it's decisions they either didn't make or were too young to make, not understanding the ramifications of it. These are the people. These is the type of people that want to do this to you. Now, if it's okay for a foreign government to do an action like this in the United States, I've got news for you. You're not as unprepared as the American people were and are, and unknowing about this, you're even less. It's just not something you would expect. And frankly, it's not something you should expect. This is a black swan of politics. Who'd have thunk it? Who'd have thunk it? And it's one of those stories you wish you were wrong about. You wish somebody would stand up and say, oh, yeah, you know, you missed this, you did this wrong. These people are actually good people. Somehow or other, magically make that happen. Because the otherwise is that they're going to tear our societies up and turn them into fascist hellholes. Everything at that point, and it's going to happen very soon, they need to. The only chances really to stop this is coming up, starting in the next election cycle. If it goes one more election cycle like this, I think the momentum will be there that it may not be able to be turned around again. And I'm somebody that studies these things, and you're hearing from, you know, quite simply, one of only probably two or three people that saw this for what it was worldwide and reported on it. And I'm the only one that followed it through across a couple continents and other governments that it was happening in at the same time. So you can take it with a grain of salt or not, but right now, if you care about your lives, your children's lives, right now is the time to stand up and be heard politically. Or doesn't matter if you're in Australia, the UK, Germany, wherever. It's time to stand up for the right people. In the United States right now, you may hate his tweets, but Donald Trump is and always has been the fly in the ointment. Donald Trump is the sand in the gears for what's going on, because he's pushing the country in the opposite direction. That's why they want to do this to him, because he can break the momentum they've achieved. And with him in office, there's a very good chance this will be turned around. And that's the reality of it. Robert Kennedy, he's a good man. He would make a good president. He's got a long way to go to get the momentum there. And it's not a matter of whether or not he can win the primaries. It's the way they have the Democratic Party set up. It's actually three separate parties. The congressional side of the party has the most money and the most power and the most lobbyists and the most influence. And they're the ones that will keep him or try to keep him pushed down. So if you're supporting Robert Kennedy, you need to get off your duff and get out there, because he needs to be heard. If we don't stand up against these things now, this people getting away with murder and property damage is the norm. That is the new norm. And if it's not happening in your neighborhood, so it's not your problem, you let it go for a little while and it will be. Just let it go for a couple more years. It'll come to your neighborhood too, just like the Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts. You want Girl Scout cookies? You'll get Antifa rioters with them, probably delivering them. And you get your cookies, if you don't pay them right away, they'll burn your house down. And bad joke, but you get the point. You get the point. So we have a chance to do this. This is why, going back to journalism, where that all ties together, this is why you need to support good journalists that are doing the legwork, that aren't after the Facebook likes, that aren't after your money, that aren't after, I need a million new followers this year. Because journalism is actually a service, and that's how the people that actually work it feel about it. You're doing a public service. You have an obligation to do it right. And it weighs heavy on everyone I know that's very good at it. Now, we're going to change the subject, and we're going to move to Ukraine proper for a few minutes. In Ukraine, we've got a couple big stories that are breaking. Now, yesterday, there were at least 17 people killed in a missile strike on a market, and the Ukrainians are going crazy over that. How could Russia do this? Blah, 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 blah. Well, the problem with it is, and this is just crazy, the initial assessment on the strike, and you can look at these things, there's actually an angle of a dangle. When something comes in by air, you can generally, unless it drops straight down, figure out a trajectory that it came in at. The missile strike, at the initial look at it, from where I'm sitting, the information that I have is that it came from the Ukrainian side, and it was timed with Blinken's visit to Ukraine, just to show him how bad the Russians are. And we're looking at a government that will do missile strikes on its own people, that has continually killed its own people for the last 9 years. That's how we got here, remember? That's how we got here. Ukraine, a big thing is now the U.S. is going to definitely send depleted uranium rounds. The tank shells are coming to Ukraine. And this is a massive problem because it's going to poison the ground for generations in Ukraine. It's not the fact that, okay, the shells are more deadly up front to the soldiers isn't the big problem. It turns the ground into an unlivable mess everywhere they're used. And this is generations we're talking about. We've looked at 20 years of birth defects and cancers in Iraq. Right now in Ukraine, with whatever they're doing, according to the Ukrainians, cancers are spiking. This is happening. So what is it that they're using, that they're putting in these weapons, that are doing this? The other thing with this is Russia has said very openly that if you bring these in, we're going to do the same. Because it's, you want a more potent round, we have them too. There is no game-changing weapon that the U.S. could bring in. And I mentioned this the other day. What if the U.S. or Britain gave Ukraine tactical nukes? Would that be a game-changer? The answer is hell no. All it means is that wherever they park the carriers for those missiles, there'd be a much bigger hole in the ground, and there'd be a lot of nuclear fallout, just as a thank you for bringing those on the field, the intent of using them. Signals retribution. Same measure. Everything that Ukraine does is getting thrown back at it. There are no game changers. The sad thing is the Ukrainian population is suffering for all this. And even right now, Zelensky gave an order, invalids, people with HIV, hepatitis, everyone on the government rolls for, you know, we'll say welfare or state support, are being drafted in the military and being sent to the front lines. It's a great way to get rid of them. You have no debt obligation to society. We don't need a great society umbrella anymore. We don't have any people that receive it. It's win-win, right? People are being taken out of psychological hospitals. Invalids are afraid to leave their apartment and go to the store to buy food because they'll be picked up and sent to the front lines. The Ukrainians are themselves, the citizens, are putting out a lot of videos trying to let the world know these things are going on. Zelensky is murdering his own people. And the world stays silent. This is the same group that did the J6 riots. This is the same group that put all those people in jail for the J6 riots. This is the group that is shaping the 2024 election by what they did in 2021. These groups, this government in Ukraine, seems to have more soft power than any government in history by their antics. There's no limit. There's no line they won't cross. This is what we need to stop. We need to get the world back on an even keel, if that makes sense. I don't even think we remember what that is anymore. There was a time when we actually had diplomats that did diplomat stuff, and like negotiating peace deals, trade deals, real things that help their countries. And we need to get back to that. This is War of the Worlds. I'm George Eliason, and thank you for listening today. This is TNT Radio. We'll see you next week.